When you think of pirates, you might think of the skull and crossbones, wooden legs, parrots, eye patches, and marauders swashbuckling their way through the Caribbean. But New England, or the New England colonies to be more specific, actually played an important role in the Golden Age of piracy, a period that spanned the late 1600s through the early 1700s. That's the subject of Eric J. Dolan's new book, Black Flags, Blue Waters, the epic history of America's most notorious pirates. He joined us to describe the relationship between pirates and the New England colonies, but he started by telling us some of the remarkable stories of pirates from the Golden Age, including with the story of Sam Bellamy and the ship the Whydah.
Sam Bellamy and Palsgrave Williams, two pirates that began their lives coming out of New England, headed down to dive on Spanish treasure ships. They failed to get much money that way, so they veered into piracy, and they plundered about 50 ships, but that was nothing compared to when they overtook the Whydah. The Whydah had just sold 500 slaves in Port Royal on Jamaica, so they were loaded with silver and gold. So when Bellamy and Williams took over the Whydah, they suddenly had a jackpot. They headed north, but they wouldn't be able to share the spoils of their success because in April of 1717, while they were sailing around the outstretched arm of Cape Cod, a nor'easter blew down the coast, smashed into the ship, sank the Whydah, 161 pirates on board, died, and all of that treasure sank to the bottom, and it stayed there for about 260-some-odd years until a salvager and diver named Barry Clifford and his men actually discovered the location of the Whydah, only about 1,000 or 1,500 feet off the coast of Wellfleet on Cape Cod, and they started recovering the treasure. They even found the bell that said the Whydah Galley, so they knew they had this treasure. And this is significant because it's the first authenticated pirate ship and treasure ever found, and they've been recovering treasure ever since. How much the treasure is worth, that's a matter of debate. An unreasonably low estimate is about $200,000. An improbably high estimate is about $400 million. But if you're ever on the Cape in West Yarmouth, there's the Whydah Pirate Museum, which does a wonderful job of telling you the story of the Whydah and how the treasure has been recovered.
You have a great survival story here. The man, his name is Philip Ashton. Can you tell us his story?
Yeah, Philip Ashton from my hometown of Marblehead, Massachusetts. He was a fisherman off of Nova Scotia in the summer of 1722 when a notorious, despicable, likely deranged pirate named Edward Lowe captured his fishing vessel and other fishing vessels and forced Ashton, among others, to become pirates. But Ashton was able to escape from the pirates' clutches in the Bay of Honduras, and he landed on Roatan Island, which was an uninhabited island. And he lasted there for almost 2 years, most of it entirely alone, until a brigantine from Salem, Massachusetts, right next to Marblehead, picked him up, brought him back to Marblehead. When he walked in the front door of his parents' house, they thought that he had risen from the dead because they had long assumed he was gone forever. And his story was a huge story in New England because William Defoe had written a very famous book in 1719 called Robinson Crusoe. Well, here it was in 1726 when Ashton comes back from the dead, and he was a real-life Robinson Crusoe, and the Americans could claim him.
Well, who were these pirates, and why did they turn to this life?
Pirates were generally, the pirates that I talk about, were generally of English descent or from the American colonies. There were other countries that were represented as well. And there were any number of reasons that they turned to piracy. All of them at root had one common goal, and that was to get rich. There were tales of pirates in olden days, I mean, before the 1600s and 1700s that I talk about, that had attacked ships and gained considerable treasure. And other pirates sought to emulate them by becoming pirates themselves. There were many ways in which people would turn to piracy. One was after a war had concluded, all of the privateers and naval men who had been engaged in the war, many of them found themselves suddenly unemployed. And especially the privateers who had the skills of a pirate, many of them just transferred almost seamlessly into piracy. Also, many sailors who found their captains to be particularly abusive or dictatorial would often rise up and mutiny. And once they had taken over the ship, they would turn to piracy as well. Another lure to piracy was the sinking of treasure fleets off of Florida coast. People went down there to dive on the treasure fleets to try to recover the treasure. Some were successful, some weren't. But either way, many of them, once in the Caribbean, decided to try their hands at piracy. But pirates were very much like gamblers going into a casino. People always have an over-expectation of success and an under-expectation of failure. And most pirates failed to achieve any great riches at all. And many of them died after a relatively short career. But the hope of plundering a valuable treasure ship was enough to get many men to throw their lot in with their fellow pirates and go to sea to rob whatever ships they could.
So let's go back to the 1600s and early American colonies. And I wonder if you can talk about the support that many colonists had for pirates, which in some ways makes a whole lot of sense, but it's a fairly interesting history. Tell us about this.
Right. In the late 1600s, there were these pirates called the Red Seamen, which had sort of replaced the buccaneers of earlier days. And these men would come from the colonies and they would travel in their ships around the Cape of Good Hope into the Indian Ocean, where they would attack Mughal shipping that was transiting between India and the Red Sea ports of Jeddah and Mocha. And a lot of these pirates came from the colonies. They were the fathers, the sons, the brothers of other colonists. And they brought back valuable and much-needed treasure to the colonies. And the colonies welcomed them back because it was not viewed as being particularly bad to go halfway around the world and attack quote-unquote heathens and infidels, rob them of their treasure, and bring it back to the colonies, which were traditionally starved of currency by the mother country and often forced to buy goods with currency. So here was this ready source of money that was being brought back to the colonies by colonists. So they were truly welcomed with open arms.
And the pirates needed the colonists' help too.
Right. Pirates, like anybody else, need to have supplies. They need to careen their ships and scrape all the foul matter off the bottom of their ships. And they need a support system. So the colonies in the late 1600s provided the pirates with an extremely valuable support system, much like the Bahamas served in the 1700s as a place for the pirates to repair their ships, reprovision, divvy up the loot. Colonies were the pirates' home base during the late 1600s.
Were there hotbeds of piracy in the New England colonies, places where pirates would hang out and be part of the population?
Yes, we have to look at the distinction between the 1600s and the 1700s. In the late 1600s, Newport, Boston were definitely places where pirates repaired to. In 1684, the governor of Jamaica noted that Boston was a place where pirates had brought more than 80,000 pounds sterling into the town, and many of them had settled there, and it was considered to be a receptacle of pirates of all nations. Newport as well was known to be a pirate haven during the late 1600s. But what happened after the War of the Spanish Succession? Even though piracy exploded, at this time the pirates were no longer attacking Indians or Mughal ships halfway around the world. They were attacking English merchant vessels, many of which were issuing from the colonies. So all of a sudden, whereas before the colonists viewed pirates in a favorable light since they were benefiting from the pirates, now those pirates were attacking colonial ships. So that encouraged the colonists to come out against pirates. And as a result, the pirates had no places within the colonies, New England or further to the south, to come in and reprovision and spend their money at grog shops. They were considered persona non grata, and they were forced to go down to the Bahamas. And then finally, in 1718, when the Bahamas were retaken by the British Navy, they were sort of at literally and figuratively at sea, fighting for themselves, getting more desperate all the time as the government clamped down on them.
Eric J. Dolan is the author of Black Flags, Blue Waters, the epic history of America's most notorious pirates. You can find an excerpt of the book on nextnewengland.org. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.